Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. We are learning more about the raid that resulted in the rescue of four Israeli hostages in Gaza over the weekend. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge is in Tel Aviv.
Israeli airstrikes accompanied a huge military operation to free four hostages being held in Gaza by Hamas, with new details emerging of Saturday's daytime rescue raid to bring them home. 26-year-old Noah Agamani hugging her father shortly after her rescue. Noah was taken by Hamas at the Nova Music Festival. Also rescued 27-year-old Andrei Kozlov, 41-year-old Shlomi Ziv, and 22-year-old Amog Mirjan, whose father tragically died just hours before he was freed.
Far-right parties making big gains in European parliamentary elections. The wins were so massive, French President Emmanuel Macron called a snap a legislative election in his country. Former President Donald Trump is due to meet today with a probation officer for the first time since his conviction on 34 felony counts related to hush money payments. This is ABC News. Fallout from the belated disclosure by Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas that he took luxury getaways paid for by a GOP mega donor. Thomas publicly acknowledging the trips for the first time just last week. Reporter Justin Elliott is with ProPublica, which first reported the gifts.
There's actually a review going on by the kind of bureaucratic arm of the judiciary looking at the various reporting that Justice Thomas failed to disclose things he should have. And in theory, that body, if they find he intentionally didn't disclose these things, could refer this to the Attorney General because it is a legal matter. So not predicting that's going to happen, but that review is ongoing and we're very curious to see where it ends up.
Thomas previously said he had inadvertently admitted the information. Federal Reserve expected to leave interest rates unchanged when it meets on Wednesday. Analysts say inflation's still too high for cuts. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Tony Evers is asking for audits of Milwaukee public schools. That's in addition to the financial audit already underway. This comes after Milwaukee schools failed to turn in financial reports due last September. Now, the state is withholding more than $16 million in aid. Evers' proposed audits would look into the functionality and effectiveness of Milwaukee's public schools. The scandal at Waupun Prison is renewing talks of replacing the aging state prisons at Waupun and Green Bay. State Representative Mark Bourne says the lockups are too old to remodel.
Both of those facilities, they're built in such a different way that refurbishing them is very difficult, very expensive. It would be hard to make them useful in a modern prison way.
Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt recommends remodeling or rebuilding. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Blue Jays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Baseball tonight as the crew hosts the Toronto Blue Jays. Milwaukee coming off a 10-2 loss yesterday to the Tigers, but they won the weekend series in Detroit 2-1. Pat Murphy on struggling against the Tigers lefty Tarek Skubal.
Credit to them. They played great defense today, and they got timely hits. And, you know, that kid on the mound, It's really good.
In golf, Ernie Els shot a 12-under to win the AmFam Championship in Madison. Racing, IndyCar driver Will Powell gets his first win in 2 years at the Grand Prix at Road America Elkhart Lake. NFL, Packers beginning mandatory minicamp in Green Bay. Are they close to getting Jordan Love a new contract?
Yeah, we're in those conversations right now, and we'd like to get this done before training camp for sure. We're looking forward to getting that done, but it never goes fast.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We're headed to 74 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 49. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon and evening. Our high tomorrow, 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Joe Zepecki here to talk about Project 2025, two women on the opposite side of the abortion issue, and a way to make flying a little more enjoyable. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Eagle, 1490 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Back here on this Monday, June 10th at 7:06. Nice to have you here, live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network, where it's time once again to play our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. You're familiar with it by now if you listened to all of last week. We ask you to use the Civic Media app and text in the keyword for a particular hour, and then you are automatically entered into the contest, which could include things like a Wisconsin Dells prize pack, also Brewers tickets. There's your choice of some great staycations if you are the grand prize winner. And this hour's keyword is radio. So between now and 8 o'clock, use your Civic Media app and text radio to one of the stations, part of Civic Media, where you're hearing Up North News Radio every weekday morning from 6 to 8. Radio is the keyword for this hour to be entered in order to win that prize. Also wanted to tell you that Up North News was first to be given the details on a new visit to Wisconsin this week by two U.S. Capitol Police officers who are going around the country talking about Donald Trump's ongoing attacks on democracy and the threat of political violence. You will recall that we talked to Capitol Police Officer Michael Fanone about a month ago or so about his speaking tour and talking about ratcheting down the rhetoric of political violence. We are going to be visited by Officer Harry Dunn, a former Capitol Police officer who was on the force for more than 15 years, defending the Capitol on January 6th. He suffered physical injuries and experienced racial epithets. Officer Danny Hodges joined the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department in 2014, continues to work as a police officer. But since defending the Capitol on January 6th, 2021, he's been an outspoken advocate against political violence. And so they will be making stops this week at events in Madison, Eau Claire, and Milwaukee. So look for the details locally at events later this week featuring those Capitol Police officers or D.C. police officers who defended our United States Capitol against a violent insurrection. It's just about 7:09 now on this Monday morning, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here with us as well for a forecast.
Good morning.
It's going to be extremely summer-like, still very pleasant. Had its rainy moments now and then, but that's not your fault. It's Kristen's fault because Kristen went camping last week.
Wow.
Which basically invites the rain. So,
sorry.
You know, we don't hold it against you, Brittany, at all.
Oh, man. Yeah, last week was so active. Those storms just kept popping up. So my apologies, Kristen.
but the wind, too. The wind was very impressive, I guess, is maybe the way we'll go with it. And it's so much nicer now.
Oh, finally, right? We've got a high-pressure system overhead. It's giving us these calm winds out of the north at about 5 to 10 miles per hour. Beautiful sunny day out there. It's going to stay nice all day today. And temperatures will be in the upper 60s, mainly towards the east by the lake. And then we are going to hit some low 70s in the western parts of the state today. So still comfortable. I like these temperatures, especially paired with the sunshine. But as we go into midweek, we are going to see the 80s return, the humidity return, and of course, those showers and storm chances. But we're going to hold off on any rain until at least tomorrow afternoon. So we're good to go today. Soak up the sun and enjoy those nice temperatures.
But then back to the 80s finally.
Yeah, summer's right around the corner, and so is the severe weather.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Brittany. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Yeah, have a wonderful day. A little bit later on this hour, we're going to be talking at the bottom of the hour to Inga Witcher-Orth. She's the owner of St. Isidore's Dairy and Farmstead Cheese. She's a fourth-generation cheesemaker and has the smallest licensed creamery in Wisconsin, but her cheddar just won a big national honor. So we'll talk to her about that in about 20 minutes. And Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will have three things you need to know to get the week started before we wrap things up for a Monday morning here on Up North News Radio. But we also wanted to mention that on the National Day Calendar today, Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Greg Bach, today is National Iced Tea Day. It is National Ball. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were judging all of these. All right. It's National Ballpoint Pen Day. Does anybody still use ballpoint pens? I don't know.
Yes, I do.
Let's see. It's always for different foods and drinks. This is National Egg Roll Day. This is National Frosted Cookie Day. This is National Herbs and Spices Day. And so we're talking about things that, you know, people were first exposed to thousands of years ago, which is kind of how some of them taste because they've been in the back of my cupboard for that long. You know?
My mind went straight to Penzies when you said herbs and spices.
Oh, sure.
Oh, mine went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's National Herbs and Spices
Greg's
Day.
Greg's only concerned about 11 herbs.
11 herbs and spices.
Yep. But you know, sometimes you're making a recipe and it adds for like, you know, like a bay leaf, and you go in your cupboard and you find it, and you're like, this thing probably added some flavor back in 1967 when it was first harvested. You know,
it's a mummified kind of flavor now.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, some of the spices there, they're not spicing anything. And it's National Black Cow Day.
Oh,
which is what, milk and Pepsi, right? That's what a black cow is, the beverage. Mm-hmm.
What
ice cream in it, or just
Like a root beer float, but with Pepsi.
Yeah, it's 10. Well, you
look at Greg's face.
if it's a root beer, though, it's a root beer float.
Yeah.
You know, Black Cow is like with Coke or Pepsi in it.
Wait, are you telling me that there are people out there who put milk and soda together?
Yes, yes. And
we are not what God intended. All right.
This is National Bed Bug Prevention Day, and Selena has the worst bed bug story ever. Although they weren't actual bed bugs, they were just other bugs, right? In a camper.
Ants in the camper.
Ants. Yeah, ants in the camper. Renting this camper or buying it or what?
No, we have a pop up, and so I got it out.
Kristen's got this story. Okay. And then so you lifted up the mattress
and there was like this like sticky from the whatever the wood, the particle board or whatever it was, you know, the sappy stuff under the mattress seeped up. And it was just like a horror movie. It was just black.
Just ants everywhere.
And then I went inside to like, after I thought I got them out, and then I was putting up the little poles to push the, you know, the outsides out. And then they were coming out of the hole.
Ants were coming out of every orifice in the pop-up. Yeah.
I was just burned it all.
Yes, just burn it down. Burn it down.
I felt like that. I was felt kind of defeated.
So Kristen's looking like, nope, she does not have a pop-up story like that.
No, I don't like ants either. Yeah. They're so creepy.
Mm-hmm. It's week-wise, this is National Aromatherapy Week, which I think we all need after that story about the ants is maybe something to maybe give us a sense of calm. It's National Bike Week. So, Kristen, oh, yes. Look, Kristen loves that. You have permission to bike an extra 100 miles this week. Oh, thank you, Pat. That's great.
I didn't know. I'm going to use that.
Okay. You should. It's a Diabetes Awareness Week. It is Loneliness Awareness Week. So, you know, be on the lookout for folks who might be subject to more loneliness than they should have in their life. And even though tomorrow is Call Your Doctor Day, all about women's health, this is National Men's Health Week. So basically, overall, call
let's
your
go,
doctor.
Guys. Yes. Yeah, let's go, guys. Let's do this.
Yep.
Don't be afraid.
Just leave me alone.
Craig's advocating for loneliness rather than being badgered about going to the doctor.
I did what you asked. I went to the doctor. I did all the things. He was lackluster at best.
Oh, my.
He was he's just a doctor who was not, like, it was so disappointing. It was really disappointing. Like, because he was just what, like,
were you hoping he'd find something?
No, or? I'm not. No. I just, you want your doctor experience to at least, you want to at least feel like they're happy that you're there for the fact that, like, you're getting checked. Getting a checkup or whatever, and he just could not be bothered. He just walked in like, "Oh, so here's this and blah blah." And, all right, well, all right, bye. I'm like,
"You're cool. Right." That's the word. And you know what part of that is, though? At least my diagnosis is back to that corporatization of medicine, where it's like, I'm betting that doctor, or at least others who give that experience, have been told repeatedly, "You got to get those exams down to like 8 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever." Mm-hmm. And Kristen, you know, sometimes getting somebody's, you know, H&P history, physical, getting all the details, and then they've got stories to tell, and you can't get them in and out in 15 minutes, and nor should you.
There's this whole thing right now about all these private equity firms buying or promoting all these lab tests that people are just directly getting so that they can dictate their own healthcare. And to me, that is, there's a place for that. But I feel like the value added with a physician or a nurse practitioner or a PA is that relationship. And if that relationship isn't there, you don't feel like the person who's taking care of you actually cares about taking care of you. And I think that's what you experienced, Greg. You didn't feel like the doctor was there to take care of you. It was more like a mechanic.
Yeah. And honestly, and I totally understand what you're saying, Pat. And if he only had 5 minutes, 10 minutes or whatever, I get that. Mm-hmm. And I respect that. And I won't. You know, unless there's a story that's pertinent to my health, I'm not going to be there trying to like connect with him. But you can make a connection in 5 minutes. You can walk in with a sunnier disposition. And if he was having a bad day, it's fine. But it was just, I was just like, I never want to go to this guy again. And
you just find a new guy.
Yep, exactly.
Or gal.
No, it's going to be next. What I want it to be a woman. I just feel better with female doctors.
You know, your doctor is so good. She whether she reads it, you know, from the previous years, but she says, "How's this?" or, you know, and just personal things. Yeah. And so she's,
you feel cared for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brewers lost 10-2 at Detroit. So Detroit took one out of the three games there. The Brewers come home for a 6-game homestand, starting with 3 against Toronto, starting tonight at 7:10. Colin Ray will be on the mound for the first of 3 against Toronto, then 3 against Cincinnati next weekend before they go on a West Coast road trip. Selena, got less than a minute here. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about Pride parades and Pride Month, but I want to take just a few seconds to point people towards some posts on social media. If you've never seen a floating bog have to get pushed by boats, you see that up in the Hayward area, don't you?
Oh my gosh, it was so cool. Yes, the Chupa Flowage, they're pushing a big old bog out of the way so boats could get through.
Yeah, otherwise it can block a bridge or things. And yes, only in Wisconsin, it seems. Was part of the neighborhood project is everybody bring your boat over. We're going to move this bog out of the way.
They
like this island-sized bog.
50 boats come and 50, they say, extra people too, because we need people in the front of the boats as weights. So, you know, the boats don't go up on the bog. So they.
Classic Wisconsin working together to solve a problem.
That's right. Cool. Back with more after this. This is Up North News Radio for a Monday morning. I'm Pat Wright-Low.
You're listening to the Eagle WLCX, lacrosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
We are experiencing a stretch of severe weather in Wisconsin. 22 tornadoes were reported over 4 different days. This includes the strongest one that ripped through Evansville area, marking the first time that a tornado ever touched down during the month of February in Wisconsin. Now, we typically average 23 tornadoes during an entire year and recorded 21 in 2023. But we've already surpassed last year. And what's considered to be the most severe weather months of June and July are still ahead of us. One more thing, forecasters are predicting a shift to a La Nina climate pattern in July, meaning our severe weather season could be longer and more damaging than ever. Information you need to be sure you and your family are always weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Years ago in Minnesota, will always be Dorothy to us. Is that, was that your rainbow, Kristen, that you were making for us as you were swaying to the music?
I picked this song for Judy Garland with no knowledge of what we're about to talk about.
Nice work out of you. Welcome back to the Psychic News Network.
Here. I'm an accidental genius.
Doodly-doo.
Selena, let's talk a bit about the events going on. And by the way, we're going to be talking about award-winning cheese coming up in just a few minutes here. For those folks who are like, "Do you got it's Dairy Month?" Yeah, it's Dairy Month. We know we love Dairy Month. It's also Pride Month, and we're going to be talking about some of the events happening there, Selena.
Yes, I'm going to the farm, Inga's farm, on Wednesday. So
I know
that will be fun. We're very excited. Emery is going to go with, so we're very excited to go to the farm. But yes, it was Pride in the Park here in Eau Claire over the weekend, where it's an event made to celebrate and support the LGBTQ plus community in a welcoming and inclusive environment. So there was a lot of people there. It was a wonderful turnout, and it just was a very positive day. And so I talked with a lot of people who were there, and one of them is Ashley Bowley from Chippewa Falls, and she was just there in support of everyone.
It's just vitally important to be here because we have so many young people and so many people who are still in the process of coming out, and they need to be able to see that they exist and are loved in this world. And what a great way, better way than to have a beautiful day out at the park so everyone can come together and be supportive.
And of course, a lot of these kinds of events are happening all across the state, all across the country in Pride Month. There is an organization in this area that's called Transforming the Valley. And that it's a volunteer organization working to improve the quality of life for those in the transgender and gender nonconforming community and the family and friends of that group. And I spoke with someone from that group as well, and this is Emerson Graves.
It's really important to see like people turn up, especially with how things have kind of been tumultuous within the last couple of years. To see this many people be this supported in kind of a smaller community, it means the world. It makes me personally as a trans person feel better to go outside and be a part.
And just so many people, just with the similar words that I talked to on Saturday at Phoenix Park in Eau Claire, and there were so many vendor booths and just bubbles set up and books and oh my gosh, and the weather was lovely. It was just such a positive day. And Sarah Schellenberger was another person who was there, and she's from Eau Claire.
I come from a background that doesn't have a lot of people that are accepting and including. And growing up, I didn't know anything different, but now we need more of that. We need more people who are willing to step out of their comfort zone and realize that we're all just human. And loving who we love doesn't affect anybody else. except us and the person we love.
I was watching CBS Sunday Morning, and they had a graphic on screen about public attitudes 1985 versus today. And it was just so uplifting to watch the evolution of folks being more tolerant and accepting and loving of their own family members, you know, who are in the LGBTQ community. And I definitely get that impression out of that last little bit of sound there, Selena, of the people recognizing, hey, what I grew up with, it doesn't mean you're turning your back on everything you grew up with, but to know that some things that you grew up with can be better. And that includes attitudes.
Yeah.
And I think that was the sentiment that day. And I asked all of those people, I think I spoke to about a dozen people, and asked them, do they feel more hopeful? And especially with a day like that, do they feel more hopeful? And indeed they did, because it was just such a positive and supportive environment. And over the years, this crowd has gotten bigger. So it was just a neat, I think, experience for everyone to be in that environment and a supportive environment.
Yeah. Kristen, I'm sure that there are events in your corner of the state as well that have been well attended and growing.
We had a big Pride Fest last week in Green Bay. We blocked off a street. There were food trucks. We raised the Pride flag. It was really cool. The year before, it was much smaller. So it is continuing to grow. Very exciting news for Green Bay.
Yeah. It's great.
We had our Pride in Milwaukee this past weekend at the Summerfest grounds, which was great. And Civic Media marched in the parade. So
that's right.
That was wonderful.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. From the text line, a listener from WAUK says, don't forget Purple Cow. Purple Cow is ice cream and grape soda. Grape. Yum, says Michael.
I can get behind that, but Pepsi and milk, get out of my face.
I always remember hearing about it, not as a black cow, but from Laverne and Shirley. That's what
I was thinking, too. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because I was looking at Greg, who is Milwaukee, and I'm like, you should know this.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, Dr. Lyerly. Laverne and Shirley wasn't a real.
Oh.
And they, filmed in Los Angeles.
But when you tour Lakefront Brewery, you get this whole Laverne and Shirley thing, and you get to sing the song, and they've got the cutouts, and it's very exciting.
But we don't explain the milieu of the show. Welcome to the end of the tour. Now, there was once a television show called Happy Days. Let's start with the third son that nobody ever saw after the first episode. We'll get to Laverne and Shirley later.
Also on the text line, Lynn in Oconomowoc includes a photo with somebody. She met a celebrity in Milwaukee and says, signed a Dr. Lyerly supporter, Lynn from Oconomowoc, home of the Yellow Brick Road.
Aww.
Which brings this all full circle. Lynn. Because before the Wizard of Oz got its wide release, there were sneak previews, including at the Strand Theater in Oconomowoc on August 12th, 1939, as well as in Kenosha and also places in California and Massachusetts before the film opened nationwide 2 weeks later. So we just got all kinds of Wisconsin history, from Laverne and Shirley to the Wizard of Oz.
That Wisconsin, the Wisconsinites were like, that tornado was real.
You know, Tornado Alley itself is just, I mean, Kansas used to get all the action, and now it's kind of sliding farther to the east here, but these storms are getting stronger, and I'm not going to be surprised if one day you see, you know, somebody riding by on their bicycle. Oh wait, that was the Wicked Witch, not Dorothy, but anyway. And then the cows we saw in Twister.
Cow.
Yep.
Cow. Another cow. I think that was the same cow.
They're remaking that. Is that coming out this year, or did they just announce that they're doing the remake?
They're making another one. I don't know. I don't think it's a reboot, or I don't even know if it's a sequel. I just know it's, the first one was called Twister. This one's called Twisters.
Oh, okay. All right. I did not see that amongst the previews. We saw The Fall Guy over the weekend.
Oh, we watched that too this weekend. That was so fun. It was so fun.
It was very fun. You knew right from the get-go they weren't going to take themselves seriously. Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
And I love them both. I'll see anything with those two in it. Yeah. They did. And of course, you had Lee Majors from the TV show, you know, making a cameo at the end along with
Heather
Thomas, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you weren't going to see the cameo. Yes. It would be news if they didn't make an appearance and a wink at the end. So that was very nice. Kristen, thanks. Good to see you. As always, have a wonderful week. Big rollout video for your campaign on Tuesday. So folks ought to be looking tomorrow for that.
That's right.
Sounds great. Enjoy. Selena, thank you so much for all the stories.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
We are going to be learning all about Small Creamery, big award for some cheese from Eau Claire County next. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Arms across the state of Wisconsin definitely paid attention to the Agriculture Road Improvement Program. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. We'll find out how many farms applied for a little financial aid to improve their roads and bridges next.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Overwhelming. That's the response that Wisconsin farms gave to the Agriculture Road Improvement Program earlier this year when the first round of applications opened. Joel Nilsestuen is the Assistant Deputy Secretary at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
We received 153 eligible ARIP applications. They're really from all corners of the state. And when you add up all those applications, it was $252 million of total project costs. So we've got some hard decisions to make because there's a lot of good projects in there. We're awarding $50 million of projects in this first round. But you know, the good news is we're going right into round two, and in that process we'll be awarding the remaining $100 million of projects.
Joel Nilsestuen, Assistant Secretary at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, he says that they expect to announce what projects will receive the initial $50 million in funding by the end of the month. Nilsestuen said they will also roll over all applications received in the first round of request to the second round of funding. Find out more at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation website.
At Compeer Financial, being here for you means something. With your loan, you access far more than financing. Enjoy member benefits like discounts on personal and business expenses, financial education, and special events, plus patronage, essentially reducing the costs of the funds you borrowed. Compeer Financial, here for you. Find out more today. Call 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/member-benefits. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
The 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention begins unofficially today with their Day of Service chapters coming into the Madison area from all across the state a little early to dedicate some of their time and talent with the Dane County Park System, as well as building beds for the Sleeps in Heavenly Peace organization. Our summer intern, Aubrey Schlimgen, is going to be tagging along with them. Follow us, Midwest Farm Report, on Facebook. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We're headed to 74 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 49. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon and evening. Our high tomorrow, 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows, say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
June 11th through the 14th from 10 to 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Jane Matinere, who I usually say it's lovely to hear you, Jane, but right now we have to be rivals. We have this great Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest. She beat us by one texter yesterday.
We don't have anything on the line for this. Here's my suggestion. The loser has to buy the other one a steak dinner at the nicest supper club in Amory.
Okay, I'm
How
on.
About that?
I'm on.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison and welcome up-and-coming singer-songwriter Katie Scullin, who performs live in studio. And I'm joined by Civic Media News Director and comedy enthusiast Terry Bell.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
It's just give me some cheese.
Greg Bach is picking out today's bumper music. Greg, you got to take credit for this one. Where did you pull a song that includes the lyrics "Give us some cheese"?
I just literally Googled songs about cheese, and there weren't a lot of them. But this one was the best one.
Because
it's what I want. I want cheese.
Anga Wisher Orth is with us now. Anga, you ever hear this one before?
I never have, and now I want to play it when I'm making cheese.
I know. Okay, we now have a theme song for our cheese segments. Inga, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing so well this morning. How are you doing?
Very good. Folks might hear the name and go, wait, is that the same one from Around the Farm Table? And I think you plead guilty to that.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, well, it's so great to have you here. Drawn to you about not so much the TV show, but an award that you recently won for one of your cheeses. And it's how we found out that you've got one of, if not the smallest licensed creamery in Wisconsin. And yet you've managed to take that and turn it into some kind of a big honor that I think the listeners might want to hear about.
Yeah, so a lot of folks recognize me from our series on PBS Around the Farm Table, where we celebrate small farms and wonderful cooking. But I'm an actual dairy farmer. I've been farming here in Wisconsin for almost 20 years. And in 2019, I started making a small batch cheddar on my farm. So I just do one style of cheese. It's a traditional British style cloth bound cheddar. And I only use the milk from my 6 Jersey cows, which means I have quality control from what my animals are eating to how the cheese is being aged. And I'm really proud of that.
And so what was the contest that was involved here that that recognized you and your work?
So the award we got was a Good Food Award. And the Good Food Awards really celebrate folks that are using responsible ingredients and finding out the backstory behind what they're making. So whether that's beer or cheese or maple syrup, it really celebrates people who are sustainable, treating their animals correctly, treating the land correctly. So, and also the flavor, right? So I'm not only proud of the flavor of our cheese, but I'm really proud of the way that we bring the milk to the cheese, that our cows are on pasture, they're happy cows. We are responsible with the treating the land and making habitat for birds and insects and things like that. So to be recognized for all of that hard work was, I think when I found out, I cried for an entire weekend. I was just so excited.
Oh, that's so nice. And look, you just said something that I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound like an old man here, and I shouldn't, but I'm going to. You said your cows are in the pasture. I can't tell you how rare that's starting to become around Wisconsin. And it's not a knock on farmers so much as it is on farming and what's expected. It's just so, it's practically unusual now when you say the cows are out in the field.
It really is. And I think that for me, I love seeing my cows on pasture. I think I started grazing about April 1st this year, and every 12 hours, so after each milking, I move the cows to new pasture. What that does is they spread their own manure, they harvest their own feed. They're also providing habitat for grassland bird species that can only nest in pasture land. There's different sort of native grasses and native flowers coming up for all of our insects and bees and things to feed on. And it's just a lovely way to farm. It's like perfect being out in the pasture this time of the year and just being with the cows and hearing them eat and seeing how that affects the cheese with the color of the milk will change and become bright, like a sunset yellow when they're eating grass. So for me, it's just fantastic.
It was one of those things where, even though I married into a dairy farm family, there's, you know, still a lot that this, you know, original city kid has to learn. And around 2007, after becoming a state senator, I was invited to go on a pasture walk. And that's how I got to learn more about, you know, you hear about rotating crops, but also about rotating, you know, the pastures that's used for grazing, basically so that the manure is, you know, naturally put in place, shall we say, in a way that is evenly distributed. And again, these are all things that are, you can't really do when you're doing mass production, but when you're doing, you know, family farming the way it was meant to be, it's just one more way that you're looking out for the entire ecosystem.
Absolutely. And I hope by having a small creamery like ours, St. Isidore's Dairy, we can encourage other dairy farmers to maybe get back to grazing, maybe get back to making their own cheese or ice cream or milk. Dairy farming right now is not a really positive industry to be in with the low milk prices and all kinds of problems we're having. And that's one of the reasons why I got into a small batch cheese, was to be able to continue farming, to be able to continue milking cows and living the lifestyle of a dairy farmer.
Mm-hmm. We are talking to Inga Witcher-Orth from St. Isidore's Dairy, and is going to be, you already picked up the award, right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
I didn't know if the award, is it something you just got by mail, by phone call? Is there an actual event that you attended?
I took my husband and my parents and we all went out to Portland, Oregon. I had to have, you know, the problem with being a small dairy farmer is we don't have a lot of people to milk. So I asked my oldest nephew to come down and milk cows for me. And we set out to Oregon for a day and got to pick up the award and got to be experiencing this with all the other makers that were getting this award as well. Chocolate makers, like I said, breweries, people who do mill flour, all kinds of wonderful people.
Now, can we talk about one of the, there was a bit of a controversy from the Good Food Award people, and it deals with, again, something we never thought we'd see in our lifetime, but the way the food industry changes and farming and everything, and that is, you know, that there was a cheese, quote unquote, that was vegan, I guess, a vegan cheese made with what, beans or other
it's
products,
like cashews or something, maybe?
Cashews. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, like almond milk. You know, we're not milking the almonds, and so is it really milk? And again, this takes nothing away from the awards or for you or anything, but it's this sign of the times that, you know, the discussions that we all have about food and farming have changed over the years.
Absolutely, I love vegan foods. I grew up vegetarian, so I didn't start eating meat until my 20s. So I love plant based everything. Even though I'm a dairy farmer, I eat a ton of cheese, a ton of cow's milk cheese, but I love the influence of plant-based. So I think it's interesting. I think there should maybe be a category next year for those vegan cheeses. Why not?
Well, right. I mean, look, we can talk about labels and markets and everything else, but in terms of the product, you should always be looking for ways to award quality in what it is you're making. I mean, I don't plan to be, you know, drinking almond milk anytime soon, but if there's something that, you know, makes one better than the other, then, you know, why wouldn't you celebrate that? Because again, we're trying to get away from things that are processed to be unhealthy, as opposed to, you know, innovation and creativity in how you, you know, make your food products these days. Let's talk about the PBS show for a bit, Around the Farm Table, for folks that aren't familiar with it, and when that got started, how it got started, and, you know, what people would see if they watched you on that show.
So my father and I started the show together. We're the co-creators, and we literally thought of the concept while we were milking cows one day. So he came out to the barn milking cows with me, and we were talking about how we're not from Wisconsin originally. We're from Washington State. So after living here, we really discovered the diversity of farmers, all the incredible ingredients that are being grown here. And we wanted to really showcase the farming community. But instead of telling it from the perspective of a chef or someone else, we wanted to tell it from the perspective of a farmer. So my father said, well, let's do a show and you can be the host and you'll cook at the end of it and it'll be great. And now we're in our 10th year of filming. So it's been an incredible journey. It's a great way to get to know the state is by doing a television show about farmers.
Wait, so I'm hearing all about this trend of farm-to-table dinners. Were you like a pioneer in all of this, or did you see it elsewhere?
Absolutely. No, I grew up in the country. We had to cook. We grew a garden. We, you know, we were on a farm, so we were cooking constantly. And so I didn't even realize that farm to table was a thing or that it needed to be a movement. I remember the first time I spent the night at a friend's house when I was a kid, they had Wonder Bread and powdered potatoes. And I thought, you guys really hit the jackpot. This is the best way to grow up, right? I took for granted that we ate every day from the garden and canning and all those different things.
It's honestly, I feel like I'm talking to my wife right now, who grew up, you know, milking 72 cows before they got on the bus and after they got off the bus. And she was just amazed when she met me to see, you know, like vegetables in a can and potatoes in a box and all these things that she's like, how are you people not all 400 pounds? I'm like, well, you know, it's something that's spreading here, you know, the whole processed food thing. And now you see people, yeah, coming back and saying, wait, maybe we can eat healthier and actually, you know, patronize the people that are growing our food. And then, like you said, cooking it up so well.
Well, the thing is when we're eating really great ingredients that are grown in healthy soils and that are seasonal, you don't have to be a chef to be able to create something wonderful. The ingredients will do it for you. So a little salt and pepper, a lot of butter that I love to use a lot of butter, and everything can be a wonderful meal.
Oh, without a doubt. Tell me about the cheese that won the award recently is a small batch raw milk cloth-bound cheddar. So let's go through that. I mean, a small batch is self-explanatory, but when you say raw milk, I don't know how traditional that is compared to ways that other cheeses are made, and then the whole cloth-bound aspect of it as well.
So I make the cheese along with my father and my husband and my mother. We put it into small truckles. So we press the curds into small truckles. We wrap it in cheesecloth. That way the cheddar can age naturally, so it can breathe, right? And I only use raw milk. My cows, I am very proud of my cows. They are the healthiest cows that I've ever been around. They're so productive and their milk is so good that I don't want to taint that. And while the cows are wandering around the pastures, they're collecting different flora and fauna from our farm. So by keeping the milk raw instead of pasteurizing that milk for cheese making, we're able to keep the integrity of the milk and we're able to make a more interesting flavor of cheese. So we're really speaking to the terroir of our farm and our grasses. So that's where the raw milk comes in. Raw milk is illegal to sell in Wisconsin unless it's in cheese form, and that has to be aged for a minimum of 60 days. So our cheeses are aged for 6 months to a year, and we put them into a cave-like scenario in one of our barns where they will sit and they'll be turned every single day so that the moisture can develop and drizzle down, as it should. And then when we're ready to sell, we can take our cheese to Fromage Nation in Madison. We do at the Milk Merchant in Wausau, and then at the downtown Eau Claire Farmers Market, you can find us as well.
This is really something. Well, for that particular cheddar, do you think that it works best, paired up in some way, shape, or form, apart from just, you know, snacking on it? But is there a way that you'd also recommend that it be served where it pairs up best?
Well, one thing I've been doing now is I've been having a little slice of cheese before I go out and milk, and then I'll put like a little rhubarb jam on right now since it's rhubarb season, and it just is so nice. It also goes well with a really good mustard. You know, it has a little bit of a bite to it. It's very much a cheddar, but it's an unusual cheddar, so it's more complex and interesting flavors. And I've had it with everything from a Busch Light to a very expensive glass of wine. So it pairs lovely with everything.
That sounds great. We often will get, we get Goudas and Havartis and others. And typically what we'll do is we'll make up a baguette. You know, we'll warm one of those up. And then maybe there's some, you know, prosciutto that goes with it as well. So I'm always on the lookout for new ways to, you know, basically serve it up when we have guests and things. And it's so nice to have another option for this, especially coming from a small cheesemaker. And we've talked about that repeatedly with guests when we talk about the rural economy and encouraging, ways for more small, locally based processors, whether it's, you know, dairy, whether it's meat processing, other things like that. I mean, not everything has to be big and mass produced. The future for Wisconsin is going to be a lot of small shops like yours, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And I think it really is the way, the future of farming, as people are becoming more aware of where their food's growing. I eat meat now. I only get it from one farm. I get my vegetables from one farm. I need to know the people behind it. I need to know what they're doing with the soil. And I think more and more people are following that trend. And I think it's not going to be a trend soon. And I think we should be supporting local. I think small farmers in my community, we put money right back in the community. I buy hay from a mile down the road. I buy my equipment parts right in town, my mechanics right there. All of the money is spread around in the rural communities when you're supporting those local farmers. So that's another benefit.
And you can learn more about this at stisidoresdairy.com. St. Isidore's Dairy, Farmstead Cheese from Ingo Witcher-Orth. Ingo, so great to meet you. Thank you very much. I know Selena's looking forward to coming down and talking to you on Wednesday for a story. Thank you for sharing your cheese. Congratulations on the award.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You as well. When we come back, Terry Bell will be here, Civic Media News Director, with three things you need to know to start the week. That's coming up after this. You're up north.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a thought about whether fancy cookware is worth your hard-earned dollars. I love cooking, so I have done a lot of research to figure out what is worth my money. One thing I know, fancy nonstick is a no-go. Don't do it. Nonstick pans wear out after a year, maybe two. Once the surface of the pan gets all scrapey scratchy, you gotta throw it out and you gotta replace it. I replace mine roughly once a year. Here's another tip. Don't buy a set of pans. Buy the cookware you need one piece at a time as you need it. For most tasks in my house, cheap cast iron is the go-to. I like it from a yard sale, but if you gotta buy new at the store, you can do that too. And this leaves room to say, yeah, if you love to cook, a high-end all-clad or Le Creuset pot, that is the occasional treat that I think can be worth it. Although I would still wait for them to go on sale. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Terry Bell is here. We're normally playing old 97s for that, but I'll that give me some cheese song. That could turn up to be your new walk-up music. You liked it as much as I did.
Oh, yeah. That's a great song.
And now, did I get rid of it already? No, Matt Hobbs was the name of the artist that Greg Bach found with a record time. I don't... Again,
well done, Greg.
How you do these things sometimes, buddy? I really don't. Three things you need to know to start the week from Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. And we're going to start, unfortunately, with some news of a mass shooting over the weekend in Madison. All injuries, no deaths, but still something you don't want to see. And Terry, give us more details about what happened downtown.
Yeah,
over the weekend.
Absolutely, Pat. In fact, the police chief himself says it's a miracle nobody died. Very young people, too. If you're familiar with downtown Madison, the campus area, there are a bunch of new high-rise buildings. Pretty nice, too. And they have rooftop areas with hot tubs, swimming pools, all kinds of amenities. Popular places for parties, as you might imagine. There was a big gathering on top of one of these buildings Saturday night into Sunday morning. It looks like at least a couple of people showed up with guns and started shooting. 10 people injured, none of them fatally, as young as 14 years old. The oldest was 23. Most of these, apparently, from the reports I'm seeing, were high school students. This was a big weekend for high school graduations in Madison, and apparently there was a gathering there. No arrests made. Police searched the entire high-rise building, turned up nothing in terms of suspects. So as of this morning, police were still looking for whoever's responsible for this.
Unbelievable. Okay. Also, among the three things you need to know is that the Democratic Party state convention was held over the weekend, and there were some protests during the course of the weekend about President Biden and the war between Israel and Hamas in Gaza.
And this is something we're going to continue. I think we're going to see throughout the political season this year. There was a fairly large gathering outside the convention hall at the Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino in Milwaukee. Inside, reports range from about 6 to 10 people got up and started shouting during Tammy Baldwin's speech. To call it a disruption would be a bit of an exaggeration. I was there. The senator kept speaking, and as the people who were shouting were escorted out, they didn't really put up any resistance. I guess they felt that they made their point. But apparently, yesterday, delegates did vote for a ceasefire. The leaders of the state party urged people not to over some of the wording in the statement, but it feels like, you know, Palestine and Israel is going to be an issue that if President Biden doesn't address to the satisfaction of many, could be a problem for him in November.
Yeah, without a doubt. And for folks that are looking at it and they hear from, you know, former President Trump and Derek Van Orden, and they say, you know, we're just with you know, Israel, you know, single-sided affiliation in this conflict and everything, over, in my opinion, oversimplifies things grossly. I think that that's a matter of political expediency to them. And really what, you know, what Trump is looking forward to is, you know, Jared Kushner getting some more, you know, oceanfront property in that area for development and not really looking for peace for the sake of peace. But it's an issue that is going to be very complex between now and November. Third item to know this week, getting the weekend started, as we told you late last week, the warden at the Waupun prison was arrested because of the deaths of inmates there. And Terry, what's the latest on some of the reaction to it?
Well, perhaps to underscore that, inmates held a protest on Thursday, a sit-in, if you will, and they're talking about the conditions at the prison, which are pretty well documented. There's been much written about the conditions of Wisconsin state prisons, especially the older ones in Green Bay and Waupun. They're talking about inadequate medical care the inmates are. They're also talking about cold meals. There are others who accuse the inmates of trying to take advantage of the situation. Now, the warden and 8 former staffers are charged with felonies. But it just goes to show that the conditions at these two prisons are not great, Waupun and Green Bay, to say the least. And it's going to be a matter, I'm sure, for lawmakers when they come back to session early next year.
All right, let's get to you know, those were the three things you need to know to start the week. But let's get to the one that I really want to pick your brain on.
All right.
Caitlin Clark, whether she should have been on the All-Star team for the – or not the All-Star team, the Olympic.
The Olympic team.
Yeah, Team USA. A lot of the sports headlines this weekend were whether she was being – some would say she was being snubbed by not being put on the team. Others saying, you know, look, she had a great college career, but you're a rookie and you got to pay your dues and you're young and everything else. And so – Terry, let's make sure you make half the listeners angry right from the get go.
Yeah, great.
Making you pick a side. Caitlin
no
Clark,
pressure
on
yeah.
Team USA or no?
Well, I'll say this: I think she deserves to be on the team, but I understand the rationale for her not being on the team. I think she's being very gracious about the whole situation, and that makes me feel good. But yeah, I mean, at least, you know, in a situation like there are a lot of teams, Olympic teams, not everybody is chosen on merit alone. Mm-hmm. If you take a look at, you know, the original Dream Team back in the 90s, Christian Laettner was put on that team.
And Shaq was not as a result, right? Because they had to get the hot college player on, and he didn't light up the Olympic team when he was there.
You know? And you look at, you know, baseball's All-Star game, that's not merit, that's popularity. Mm-hmm. And I think the Olympic committee would have been smart to put the sport's hottest star on the team. Absolutely. I think she deserves it. Again, I get the rationale, and I think she's being a really good sport about it. She's saying all the right things.
You know what I would have done? Taken that even a step further. If we're going to talk about marketing and attention and everything else, you put her and Angel Reese on the team and say, look, you two are now teammates, and now let's see how you do. And fact of the matter is, they might be this amazing dynamo and really build up the sport, or you find out that one or the other just really isn't up to the pressure. But I would have gone that far, put them together.
that would be interesting. And I'm sure they will be Olympic teammates someday, maybe as early as 4 years from now.
Probably.
That's a very, very, you know, likely scenario.
Oh, yeah. Magic Johnson was asked about it, and some people said he gave too safe of an answer. But I actually agree with him this time when he says, I think it's all going to work out. And I do, like you said, I think a couple of years from now, much like, you know, we're watching the Jordan documentary now, mm-hmm. and talking all about what it was like behind the scenes, this is going to make for some good storytelling down the road. Okay. Terry Bell, three things you need to know to start the week. News director at Civic Media. Thank you so much, Terry. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat. Yep.
Greg will be back for Matt and Air on Air coming up in a couple of hours there. So be listening for that. And we will check in tomorrow with Hans Breitenmoser up in Lincoln County, Sharita Booker on social media posts, and Chad Holmes all on the Tuesday edition of Up North News Radio. Have a great Monday.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look back at what happened over the weekend and get you prepared for a statewide tour with our friend Jane Matinere. Join us.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.